Item 5, Matthews Land Conservancy. And you have a separate binder for this agenda item. Johnson, good morning.
Good morning, Commissioner Alistair Associates. This is an appeal by 26 freeholders in the Matthews County Wetlands Board decision to approve a project to install a rowing and sailing center building on pilings extending over wetlands, two 16-foot wide by 80-foot long floating piers with two 12-foot by 23-foot gangways, an 8-foot wide open pile pier extending 62 feet channelward to an existing bulkhead with a 14-foot wide by 100-foot long T-head deck, and a 182-meter-foot long riprap revetment with associated backfill along the East River at 1039 Williams Wharf Road in Matthews County. Just to briefly introduce you to the public, to the project site. It's in the county of Matthews. York River's here, Mobjack Bay. And it's along the East River, which is a tributary to Mobjack. This is an aerial provided by the applicant showing the peninsula the area would be located on, the project is located on. Again, this is an appeal by 26 freeholders. They listed several items in their appeal of concern to them. Of particular concern to staff is the last one you see where it says the inability of people who spoke at the public comments phase of the January board hearing to speak at the May board hearing. In the January board hearing, we had 5 people rise to speak during the public comment section of the public hearing, 1 in favor of, 4 in protest against. During the May board hearing, the board basically said anybody who had spoken at the January public hearing would not be afforded the opportunity to speak at the May public hearing. Staff feels like this may have resulted in a procedural error of 28.2-1303-7B of the Code of Virginia, which states any person may testify at the public hearing. Although the individuals had the opportunity to testify at the first hearing, they are not provided an opportunity to address the revisions that had been considered during the second hearing. As such, staff is concerned that the board did not hear all the public testimony necessary to make a decision to approve the project, as prescribed by 28.2-1302-10 of the Code of Virginia. Accordingly, staff recommends that the commission remand the matter back to the board with specific instruction to amplify the record with the testimony of anyone from the public who wishes to testify, and then render a decision based upon all the testimony given. I am prepared today to go into the record if it's the pleasure of the commission, but at this point, I guess I need some direction from you.
So, between the first public hearing and the second, there were modifications made to the application.
Yes, sir. They made modifications to reduce the impacts or encroachment over the wetlands for the building itself and the decking for it.
And individuals who spoke at the first public hearing were not allowed to speak at the second public hearing.
Correct.
Counselor, do you have any, in your view, is that sufficient reason to remand this back to the Wetlands Board?
Yes, Commissioner, it is sufficient reason. Staff and I had spoken about this issue, and I believe their recommendation is based on guidance from me, because that is the advice that I gave. There's a due process problem. The Section 28.2-1302-7B mandates that anyone who wishes to speak at a public hearing on an application may, and as the commissioner pointed out, that was denied. So the options the commission has is to either remand the matter and let the board fully develop the record and make a decision, or commission may, if it so chooses, to open up the record and substitute its judgment for that of the board below.
I know, it seems to me, if we just sort of cut to the chase on this issue, that, I mean, there's right in front of us a reason to remand this back to the Wetlands Board. That suggests to me that we don't need to open the record.
Do we need to hear people speak on the sole issue of the opportunity to testify? Just are we clear on that point, and we can make a decision without people speaking to that point?
Well, I think we, you know, I want to take some public comment here, but I don't think we need to get into the point where we reopen the record and hear the entire case anew, having identified this one reason for remanding it, if you all agree. Yes.
Does it make any difference whether these were separate meetings or whether it was a recessed continuation of the first meeting?
Well, Mr. Fox, in response to your question, what happens precisely is we had a public hearing on a permit application, and then we had a modified permit application, which is, in effect, as I'm sure you're aware, a different application. People who spoke to the first application were not permitted to speak on the second application.
Which had been modified.
Yes, sir.
So.
And they weren't allowed to speak to the modifications. So it is, in effect, two different public hearings, two different applications.
Even though I think the minute stated it was a continuation of the first meeting, but it was different.
That may have been a characterization in the minutes, but it was not legally precise.
Okay.
Are the 26 freeholders represented by someone? You see where the conversation is going. I mean, I don't want to cut off any comments, but if you could comment to this specific issue, we'd appreciate it if you want to come up in whatever order you prefer. Are you the spokesman, sir?
I am, sir.
You want to come up to the... You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Steve Wilson. I live at 992 Williams Wharf Road in Matthews, Virginia, and I'm one of the adjacent property owners to the Matthews Land Conservancy in Williams Wharf. We were prepared at the May meeting of the Wetlands Board to speak again in opposition to the proposed structure at the Williams Wharf project. And the chair pronounced that those who had spoken at the previous meeting, the January meeting, would not be allowed to speak. And we were prepared to speak to the changes, the revisions, and the fact that we did not feel that the mitigation or minimization actually reduced the encroachment over the tidal wetlands, that it changed the multi-use nature of the building, and that all in all, it still showed tremendous encroachment over the wetlands of over 7,000 square feet.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Wilson? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any of the other freeholders wish to speak to this point, please?
I have a handout that I'll be
distributing
to. May I distribute that?
You certainly can.
Commissioner, I don't know that may be considered new information at this point. You may be careful about what that is before you discuss it.
Can you tell us what it is?
It's copies of Gazette Journal articles relating to the Williams Wharf project.
May I ask a question, Commissioner?
Sure.
Excuse me, sir. I'm counsel for the commission. I just want to make sure that we keep the record straight. So does this pertain at all to whether y'all were allowed to speak at the hearing in March or the last hearing for the Wetlands Board?
It does not. It refers to comments that have been made by this group relating to the project.
All right. So that's new information.
Yes, sir. That would not go to the issue at hand, and it
right.
would go to...
So we'd prefer not to see that at this point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Can you say your name, sir?
That was.
Could you say it into the mic?
No, I guess.
We're recording, sir.
My name is Tom Tucker. I'm a resident at Moon, Virginia, in Matthews County.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Is the Wetlands Board represented? Swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name for the record.
Kenneth Kirkowski, Chairman of the Matthews Wetland Board, 121 Enterprise Lane, Foster, Virginia. After consultation with Mr. Watkinson and Mr. Johnson, I agree that I made a procedural error in denying the chance to speak, and therefore I would request that it be remanded back to the Wetlands Board and Matthews to rehear.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Kirkowski? Thank you, sir. I think the matter's before the commission. You've heard.
I would move to remand the matter back to the, based on what we've heard.
Mr. Plumlee moves to remand, seconded by Mr. Fox. Comments on the motion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, people, I don't know. I'm not sure everyone in the audience understands what we're doing specifically by not hearing particular matters pertaining to the case. We're hearing a procedural matter simply on the issue of whether you were allowed to speak. If you weren't, then it should be remanded. We want to take that action rather than hear evidence pertaining to the subject matter. Because if we do that, then we're opening the whole hearing up. And we don't want to take that step. We want to give everybody the opportunity to appear before their Wetlands Board. That's my understanding.
That's precise. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman,
my
name is Lee Stevens. I'm an attorney in Irvington, Virginia. I'm counsel of the Land Conservancy. And not speaking to the merits, but speaking specifically to the procedural issue of the discussion on this point. I had considerable discussion with Andrew McRoberts, county attorney, who's with the firm of Sands Anderson in Richmond, going back and forth on this very issue as to what was to be discussed and what wasn't to be discussed at these hearings. What Chairman Kirkowski promulgated at the meeting was independent of anything I said, and certainly nothing that the Wilsons, who were in attendance, objected to. So two points that I want to make, both procedural in nature, if I may, Mr. Chairman. The opportunity to speak was at the January meeting. At that meeting, the applicant, my client, elected to defer the hearing at that point. The commission put out a notice saying deferred at the applicant's request. Had the next hearing been within 30 days, there would have been, or the next meeting been within 30 days, there never would have been an occasion for any further public hearing. Instead, we got into the public hearing debate because of various things going through the winter. The next meeting was pushed back. As a result of that, we ended up, they had a special meeting. By that I mean the Wetlands Board had a special meeting in April to discuss this very point, and getting advice from their counsel, they said, okay, we're going to go ahead and have the hearing. So it was a suicide. It just happened right then that Mr. Kirkowski said, no, we won't take any more testimony. Well, here I'm sitting there and listening to it and say, well, I guess because the building is being brought inland, it was brought in and twisted in, so it was brought in 14 feet on the east side next to the Wilson's house and 32 feet on the east side and 32 feet on the west side. It was brought back, to put it in perspective, from there was going to be about $470,000 worth of building over bottom under your jurisdiction. That retreated back to $222,000. In other words, we brought much more back. Yes, we did retract the building. We did amend the JPA to reflect this, but it was to be less impact on certainly navigable waters, and we have mitigation on site for all of the wetlands issues. So the point of all this is, what would the opponents have said had they gotten back up? Would they have objected to the fact that it was less invasive than it was before? We brought the building back as far as we could, and I don't want to get into details, but this is a rowing and sailing center. They need the capacity to deal with 60-foot shells, 8-foot boats, as they are trailered around and dropped off. So they couldn't move the building any further without prejudicing, without getting rid of that argument altogether. So I do want to shift now from that to let you know on a procedural issue, two procedural issues specifically to this. All of the piers that were at issue were brought up in January. That was not objected to within 10 days, so I think all of those, while they threw in the kitchen sink on their petition, all of the discussion about the piers and whatnot come off. Really, the only issue is the construction of the Rowing and Sailing Center building. That's the only thing to which they've arguably made a proper appeal. We're picking nits, but we're lawyers. The definition of freeholder, today is someone who owns land in fee simple. They've got signatures of 26 individuals. I won't debate that. However, at least two of them have area codes outside of the area, and according to the county records, one property, I think signatories 3 and 4, the property is actually owned by his parents, not owned by the individuals who signed it. So the question arises whether there were 25 freeholders who signed it. So
thank you.
All the procedure I'm going to throw your way.
Any questions of Mr. Stevens? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further comments from staff? Okay.
We do. My motion still stands. I don't modify it based on what Mr. Stevens had to say, but I just point out that there's been no sufficient proof demonstrating we don't have jurisdiction to hear this with sufficient freeholders. Second, I think all matters that were considered, everyone should have an opportunity to speak. It's something that is primary to what we do, and so for that reason, I've asked us to support the motion to remand it.
All right. Any other comments? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the comments we just heard about the nature of the changes to the application, but the application was nonetheless modified, and so I think it is in the, as required by the code, I think it would be appropriate to have a full public interest review of the amended application and support the motion.
Any other comments? Ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries and the matter is remanded to the Matthews County Wetlands Board. Thank you, Mike.